This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think Jed Marshall has been dipping into the Chiefs training camp playlist. I am almost positive this has been played out here at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe.
I somehow doubt that, Brad. This is just the instrumental of a song called Orange Juice by Odd Future, and there's no way they could be playing that over the speakers out there.
Oh, they could be. They had some bumping stuff this morning. What was that? Was that 2 Chainz, Charlie? Yeah, they had 2 Chainz going out here this morning. It was really cool.
You know how it's 2 Chainz? Because every song he goes, 2 Chainz!
Yeah, oh no, I wasn't sure who it was, and then I heard him say 2 Chainz. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's 2 Chainz. You got to say your name. You got to put your name out there. Put your name on it. You got a hit song.
Super obnoxiously and in every song.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
You and I have different hip-hop, I guess, preferences then.
If I made records like that and I made that much money, I would just walk around introducing myself all day. Hi, I am 2 Chainz. Have you heard my song? Here it is. Go get it. Go download it. By the way, this is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 at WHB. We're live once again at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri, on the beautiful campus of Missouri Western, and it is an absolute gorgeous morning to watch the Chiefs go through their drills. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Our Chiefs training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. The latest updates from camp this morning, usually it's the biggest update is who is not practicing. So not practicing today, safety Leon McQuay once again. Daniel Sorensen, the story came out about his surgery, and his knee is much worse than we had initially heard. I don't know if he's going to make it back for the season. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that sounds very serious. Sounds like there was a lot of damage done. So Daniel Sorensen out. Corners, Keith Reeser and Mackington Dorlient are out of practice today. No sign of Jimmy Murray, another defensive back. Offensive lineman, or he's an offensive lineman, pardon me, Jimmy Murray or Alex Officer. And D. Ford is back on the practice field. And no Eric Berry today. And I'm sure that's one of those things, you know, you've been practicing for, you know, 4 or 5 straight days. You're coming off an injury. Let's give Eric Berry a little bit of a break. So I don't see any issue with that. And I did mention D. Ford is back. Running with the ones at safety, since both starting safeties are out, Eric Murray and Armani Watts. So, no, nothing serious for the big-time players on the team. We got a good show lined up for you today. Later on, we're going to hear from some of the Chiefs players and coaches, including Andy Reid. And I believe we'll hear from Reggie Ragland, who was back on the field after missing a couple of days last week. Also a good show lined up for you. At 9:25, Howard Richman is going to join us. Howard is the editor of GCM Magazine and works for the Golf Course Superintendents Association. He was out at Bellerive in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago getting ready for the PGA Championship, so he has some good insight on what we're going to see today. Howard also wrote for the Kansas City Star for a long, long time. Super nice guy. So he'll be on at 9:25, and I'll go ahead and give you the PGA Championship update, which you can hear live beginning at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Brooks Koepka went out Saturday on moving day and absolutely brutalized the course. He's at the top of the leaderboard at minus 12. Brooks Koepka is coming off back-to-back U.S. Open wins, trying to win his second major of the season. He's on what we call a professional roll right now. So Brooks Koepka at 12 under, Adam Scott 2 shots back at 10 under, and then a group at 9 under, including the Kansas Jayhawk, Gary Woodland. If you saw his head covers for his putter and his drivers, you got Jayhawks on there. How about that? Repping out the school. And Ricky Fowler is also at 9 under. He'll be wearing his Oklahoma State orange, so maybe we'll see a Fowler, maybe we'll see a Jayhawk Cowboy pairing today. Charles Schwartzel at 8 under, along with Lowry, Thomas, Jason Day, and Stuart Sink, and Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, 4 shots back in a major championship. Jed, remember, you know, when he was beginning his comeback? He's done. No way. He's never going to win a regular tournament again, much less a major. He's competed in almost every major this year, at least going into Sunday.
Yeah, it's been good for golf. I know that Tiger Woods kind of the polarizing figure, regardless of whether you love him, hate him, somewhere in between. But I know that he certainly makes golf a lot more watchable. Guys like Fast Talk and Rob and people like that, they've told me that, you know, golf isn't necessarily their jam. But if Tiger's playing and playing well, they'll certainly be tuning in, especially on a Sunday where it's a major. And then you have a local kid, like we said, Gary Woodland, who kind of had a meltdown yesterday, but,
right,
you know, still right there. But the excitement, there are a bunch of really big-name guys. Like, I personally, I'll be pulling for Gary Woodland. But if he doesn't do anything, I want John Rahm to win. I like watching him play. So
sure,
there are a bunch of good players still in contention.
Absolutely. And you know what? Had I thought sooner, we could have had an on-course correspondent on the show today, because our good friend Allie Trost, who writes for the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and Major League Soccer, she is in St. Louis this weekend visiting her family, and they're all going to the final round of the PGA today. I should have had her call in with an update from the course.
I can shoot her a text, certainly. I have a couple of buddies
who are actually out there watching. I'm sure you're not allowed to talk on the phone while you're on the course, but I don't know.
No, it'd be fine.
Yeah, especially while Tiger's like in his backswing.
Yeah, dude, I think all she would have to mention is, don't you know who I'm on with? Jed Marshall and Brad Porter. They'd be like, oh, whoa,
yeah,
sorry about that. We'll back up,
exactly,
miss.
So we'll get into the PGA Championship here at 9:25 with Howard Richmond, a good guy, covers a lot of golf. At 10 o'clock, first-time guest for us, Eamon Brennan, and we'll confirm the pronunciation of his first name
it's
when he comes
Eamon.
On. It's Eamon Brennan. Okay.
Yes.
Writes for The Athletic. Good stuff. We're going to talk about the new rules of college basketball, including the NCAA not informing the NBA or USA Basketball about the rule changes before they were announced. I guess they had been consulting with each other over the course of the last few months, but then the NCAA just released it without telling anybody else. And it's another example of the NCAA stepping on a rake when they didn't have to. So 10 o'clock, Eamon Brennan from The Athletic. At 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us, talk a little Sporting KC and Major League Soccer, and maybe a little bit of EPL, the English Premier League, which opened this weekend. And my team, Liverpool, is playing as we speak, and I'm trying to avoid hearing the score because I've got it DVR'd back home. But, Jed, your Chelsea side had a good showing in their first game.
They did, a 3-0 victory. I don't think Chelsea's going to be very good this year. I'd be happy if they finished top four. But, yeah, always nice to get off on the right foot.
I saw Real Madrid is preparing to pay 200 million, I don't know if it was pounds or euros, for your guy Eden Hazard. He wants out.
Rob and I were talking about this at lunch on Friday. He thinks he's going to stay, and Rob is very connected with a lot of, you know, big, high-level officials over in England.
Sure.
So
yeah,
I'd trust what he has to say, even though I read many contrary reports.
Right. Well, you got a combination of one team willing to give you $200 million and a player who doesn't want to be there.
I know, so it stinks, though. We continue to, like, watching the World Cup this year was so bittersweet, because I'm like, oh, Lukaku, he played for Chelsea. Ooh, Mohamed Salah, he played for Chelsea. Ooh, Eden Hazard, he's probably going to leave Chelsea. That's literally, every game I'm like, yeah, that guy played for Chelsea, and here he is just scoring goals for, you know, his national team, and then he's going to come back and be like, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah, and your goalkeeper, Courtois, he wanted out, and now he's out.
Yeah.
He's at Real Madrid.
Yeah, pretty cool. I should have listened to Rudy more, because he wanted to draft essentially the whole Real Madrid team in our player pool,
right,
and I didn't listen to him.
Well, that's what you get. You're paying the price now, aren't you? Sporting KC, if you saw the game last night, or if you didn't, they always post highlights on their website. I would encourage you to do that, because the build-up to the first goal, which was, what, 17 minutes into the game, was absolutely fantastic. Daniel Shalaby, one of the young Hungarians on the team, one of many Hungarians on the team, just steamrolled through the park against LAFC, drew every defender to him, and then laid it off for young Gerso Fernandez, who pounded it to the back post right across the face of the goal. And it was, I don't know if you'd call it spectacular. I don't want to call every goal spectacular, but it was pretty special. And then Gerso Fernandez, if you don't know, and Sporting reminded me on Twitter last night. Sporting doesn't come back at you on Twitter too many times, but they did last night. So I took a screen grab of Jurso Fernandez's celebration, and he does, I call it the Neil Smith home run swing. When Neil Smith of the Chiefs used to get a sack, he used to do the home run swing because he liked the Royals, I guess. And so Jurso Fernandez, when he scores, does the home run swing. And so I took a screen grab and I said, hey, look at Jurso Fernandez doing the Neil Smith home run swing. And then Sporting KC came back at me and said, yeah, he's done that three times, implying that I didn't know that he always does that. I know, I tweeted it last year. But that was cool. Jurso Fernandez, a good young player, doing the home run swing. I'm all about that. And so Sporting KC goes on the road to LAFC, which is an expansion team. They have not lost, they had not lost a home game all season. Sporting goes in and wins 2-0. Back-to-back shutouts, back-to-back wins for Sporting after that, I don't know if you'd call it a brutal 5-6 game stretch back in June, but it wasn't good. They went 5 or 6 games without a win, a couple of draws and a bunch of losses. But now they're right back up. They're 3 points out of first place behind FC Dallas. Now FC Dallas has a game in hand, but Sporting is right back there. They go to LAFC, and that's the second time this season Sporting is handed a team a home loss that hadn't lost before. Went down to Atlanta and did it a couple of months ago. Went out to LAFC last night and did it. And that's a good team over there at LAFC. They're competing for the Western Conference as well. But Sporting, good stuff. And then to seal it, there was a penalty called against LAFC at about minute 66 of the second half. One of the LA defensive players was trying to clear the ball, got his leg and foot and spikes all the way up in the air and kicked, I believe it was Shallowy, right in the side of the head. And he was immediately called a PK. Then they went to review it on what they call VAR, the video assistant review. They went and reviewed it. Didn't take very long, maybe about 20 seconds. Referee came back out and said, yeah, that's a PK. And Ilya Sanchez stepped to the spot. I think it's not funny that he's the guy that steps up. It's just interesting because he's not a goal scorer. He's a holding midfielder. He patrols the midfield. He controls everything. He handles the passing. He sets up plays. But when it comes to PKs, it's Ilya Sanchez. And I thought it was fantastic. Completely sent the goalkeeper the wrong way. Buried it 2-0 Sporting KC. So, Jed, better stuff. I know a couple of weeks ago I was asking our guests, you know, Nick Garcia, Andy Edwards, and Ali Trost, if it was time to hit the panic button. And I kind of pushed it. I was there. I hit the panic button. But now you get back-to-back wins. Last week's win was not pretty against Houston. But this one at LAFC, outstanding.
I think we were both in a situation or, you know, position where we were saying it is time to panic because Sporting in years past has, you know, towards the end of the season when it's been playoff time, really gone in lulls and it's affected their seeding and where they've gone in the playoffs. It was really nice to see them get a win against a good LAFC team last night. And as you mentioned, seeing Jurso score, it, you know, it's just one of those things where it shows that they have more and more guys, and Shallowy, like you said, a brilliant assist. But I don't know. To me, two wins in a row, getting back in position, both of them, you know, the first one, as you mentioned, against Houston was ugly, but back-to-back road wins, I think that Sporting has righted the ship, at least for the time being. We'll see what happens in the upcoming match.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, more of their players are getting back healthy, which is important. Christian Namath made his debut last night in about the 70th minute, but at that point the game was pretty much in hand for Sporting. You never want to say that with 20 minutes to go, but the way Sporting was playing, you just didn't see a way for LAFC to score two goals in 20 minutes. That wasn't going to happen last night. And I read Matt Beisler's quotes in Sam McDowell's piece in the Kansas City Star this morning, and Beisler's like, yeah, you know, we had to take ownership of the bad things that were happening and get it fixed, and at least for these 2 weeks, it's been fixed. And then Peter Vermes was quoted also in the story in the Star that Peter Vermes said, look, we're a good team, and when we're playing our best, we're hard to beat. And that is the absolute truth. And Peter has aired out his team. When they have not played well, he's aired them out in the public and in the press. And when they play well, he gives them that too. So both sides with Peter Vermes. If you're not good, you get it, and if you are good, you get a pat on the back. Good stuff from Sporting KC last night. We're up at Chiefs training camp, and we've got number one offense going against number one defense right now right in front of us. Patrick Mahomes operating the offense. He's in shotgun. And Chase Litton again today, the young undrafted quarterback out of Marshall, has looked very good. And again, this is training camp. He's going against threes and fours, but he's looked good. He shows you that the Chiefs scouts that went through all the undrafted players and all the tape that they studied going into the draft saw something they liked in Chase Litton, and he's got a little something. I'm not saying he's ever going to start a game in the National Football League. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's potential there. I'm saying, you know, if he's not the third string quarterback, he's on the practice squad. If he's not on the practice squad, maybe they do the what they used to do with Tyler Bray at the end of training camp. Oh, he's got an injury. We get to store him on IR. I think they're going to keep this kid around. He's shown me some good stuff. By the way, Patrick Mahomes II just completed about an 8-yard pass to Chris Conley, and now the defense is forcing him to scramble, so he's running down the field. The defense has gotten the better of it the last couple of days I've been up here, Saturday and Sunday. That doesn't mean anything. Like I said, it's training camp, but the defenses look pretty good. Breland Speaks looked good Thursday night in the exhibition game and continues to look good out here. I did want to give you another note on the Chiefs. For those of you looking for another defensive back, and we're hoping that Bashaud Breland might sign with the Chiefs because he came up to camp a couple weeks ago. He stayed overnight in the dorms. He's hanging out with Bob Sutton. Remember, it was an all-out alert. They were the media. Well, we do what we do. You got to tell the story. He's here. That's the story. But taking pictures at the cafeteria, taking pictures going in the building, taking pictures out on the field, talking to the coaches. Bashaud Breland must like it here if he's staying overnight. Well, he continues his magical mystery tour. And now, according to Arrowhead Addict, he is planning to visit the Miami Dolphins today. How many teams has Bashaud Breland visited during this free agency tour? Can I take a guess, Jed?
9.
Darn near hit it. It's 8.
Ah.
So that tells me, what that tells me is that he's looking for a big contract or a major signing bonus. And at this point in camp, teams don't have that kind of cap space. Most teams don't have that kind of cap space. And I heard a discussion yesterday. I know you can find in some places where it says the Chiefs have $8 million under the cap, but it's closer to 2 to 3 because of potential bonuses, either roster bonuses or incentives and things like that. So the Chiefs don't have a lot of capital to lay out for a veteran like Bashaud Breland. I'm mixing up Bashaud Breland and Breland Speaks, but they don't have a lot of money for a Bashaud Breland. So he's going to all of these teams. He's probably had his agent telling him, this is what we want. We need a major bonus, and we need a minimum 3-year contract. And he's probably hearing, I don't know, but he's probably hearing, yeah, we don't have that. You should have come to us in March. Should have come to us before the draft. Should have come to us after the draft, before they started signing all the players. So Bashaud Breland is still out there. He's still a guy to pay attention to because he's not getting the offers he wants. That's my guess. It's my best guess.
Turns out his agent is Scott Boras.
I think I heard a national guy the other day was talking about a football player and said, I wonder if he's with Scott Boras. And I just shook my head and I'm like, you realize Scott Boras doesn't handle contracts for NFL players, right? He handles.
Maybe he meant Tom Condon.
He might have.
Brad, I did see something here on Twitter from our good friend Matt Derrick over at ChiefsDigest.com.
I just saw him this morning with his binoculars out.
Of course. Matt's such a good guy.
And then he came, and then he got to the field.
Right. he did say that right guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is getting checked out in the medical tent, and Andrew Wiley is now running with the number ones at right guard. Okay. So I didn't know if you guys maybe had any eyeballs on that.
I'm looking over at the tent right now. We're pretty far away from the tent. I'll maybe have Charlie go check it out and see who's all over there. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. So we'll look it out because the ones just moved off the field. So I did not notice that he must have just went over there because he was out here. But yeah, it looks like there's a couple of players over in the medical tent, so we'll get an update on that. But yeah, Matt's right over there in the media tent, right close to the medical tent, and we're on the opposite side, so it's hard for me to see over there from our broadcast location. And unfortunately, the headphones don't stretch the 200 yards that I would need to go look over there. But we'll definitely keep you updated. Matt Derrick's the best. if you want Chiefs updates, at Matt Derrick on Twitter. And then read his daily recaps on ChiefsDigest.com. One more note, Kansas City Royals last night lost to the Cardinals again. Have a chance of getting swept today. I guess the highlight last night, because the Royals have not been in either one of these games. Frankly, it's been brutal. The offense has been non-existent. It is what it's been since the All-Star break. Awful. Can't hit. Can't score. Aside from that 9-0 win they had against, who was it last week? The Cubs. They had the 9-0 win against the Cubs after scoring just one run in the first two games against the Cubs. And since then, they've regressed back to the mean, which means they don't score. So the Cardinals are up 2-0 last night. I believe it was 2-0 at the time or 4-0 at the time. Sixth inning. Potentially in the game, but knowing the way the Royals just refused to score, I'm saying it was over. So Danny Duffy has a runner on and has two strikes on a batter and a chance to get out of the inning. Danny Duffy throws a pitch that was outside. Batter takes a half swing at it, tried to check it. Replays, my opinion, I know it's a judgment call, my opinion, the replay clearly showed the batter had intent to swing. That bat was all the way past the plate before he pulled it back. Umpire didn't call it at home. Appealed to first base. First base umpire says, nope, not a swing. Danny Duffy steps back on the hill. Okay, still got two strikes. It's a 3-2 count. Chance to get out of this. Hung a curveball at 82 miles an hour. I couldn't have thrown it underhanded in a better spot. And it gets jacked out of the park for a two-run shot. And Duffy just absolutely blew his cork. Shouting at the first base umpire, Danny Duffy said after the game last night that he thought the umpire instigated it by stepping to him. So Duffy unloaded. And I could tell by watching the video that there were some choice words that we can't say on the radio or television or at church or in a family gathering picnic. But he used some choice words, and he went after the umpire, and Ned Yost came out and held him back. And so he went and he said his piece and then started to walk away, and then Cal Eldred, the pitching coach, had to come out because Duffy went back. He was going back after him again, second time after he'd already been tossed. Whit Merrifield got in there to hold him back. So they had a couple of guys holding the Duff man back, and he was excused from the ball game, and it was over at that point, 6-0. And then Duffy said after the game he knows his velocity is down, so there's probably some frustration with that. He said he's not going to self-diagnose what's causing his loss of velocity, but obviously there's something there. It could be dead arm, which happens to guys this time of year. Going through a whole season, might have a dead arm. I don't know. But he's lost velocity, and he lost his cool. Frankly, Jed, you never like to see your starting pitcher. You don't like to see Royals get tossed out of games. But it's actually entertaining. I don't know if that's a sickness on my part. It's like people who like to watch NASCAR for the wrecks. I don't mind a good umpire, player, manager verbal altercation and somebody getting tossed out of a game. Duffy got a standing ovation.
It at least still shows that Danny Duffy is invested in the season and cares about his pitching performances. I know that there was talk around the trade deadline about whether he'd be dealt or not, but yeah, Danny Duffy is a fiery competitor. To me, seeing him melt down like that was kind of weird because I always think of him as a more laid-back guy, but I think it at least shows that he's still invested in the season and cares. After rewatching the pitch where he was upset, that's pretty close. And at home, maybe you'd like that, but the Royals are so bad, they're not going to get that call.
Yeah, to me, it was pretty clear that it was a swing, just from my vantage point. And,
I rewatched it 4 times while you were talking, and I'm like, meh, it's close, but you're playing
for
the Royals, unfortunately.
When you give up the two-run bomb behind that, that's when you lose your cool, because he thought he had a chance to get out of it, and then he gives up a two-run bomb, which is totally on Duffy. But I think you're right. He's emotionally invested in it. Absolutely true. In fact, Charlie Carlin just showed me a tweet from, if you follow him on Twitter, Sean Newkirk, I believe is his name, at SeanCore. He writes a lot of stuff about the Royals. So he did a screen grab of Duffy screaming at the umpire, and the caption read, "When somebody tells you that Emo's Pizza is real pizza."
Ooh, wow, nice.
St. Louis
take day. That, St. Louis. I will say this in St. Louis Cardinals fans' defense. I went to Joe's Kansas City Barbecue yesterday, had a lovely meal, and saw gosh, maybe like 15 Cardinals fans in there. And this was at the one that's out south on Row. And, right. Yeah, at least they knew where to get good barbecue.
Yeah, because once they get back to St. Louis, they're not getting it. They're not getting it again. I did see somebody tweet out yesterday. I thought it was hilarious. St. Louis-style pizza. Either you like it or you don't. It's flat, and they've got provolone cheese. Some people have a taste for it. Some people don't.
It's Provel cheese. It's the word.
Provel cheese, pardon Gross. Me. Yeah, so I like the St. Louis-style pizza at Waldo Pizza. I think they make a good pizza. I'd eat any of the pizza at Waldo Pizza. It's fan. In fact, Jed and I, we had lunch there a couple of weeks ago.
Do you know how mad Howard Richmond's going to be? Because he actually...
Oh, I know.
He's, yeah, wow.
I did see somebody tweet out a picture. It says, here's what St. Louis-style pizza looks like. And somebody squirted ketchup on a saltine cracker. So the battle never ends. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. Coming up later in the show, Iman Brennan from The Athletic will join us and talk about the new rules for college basketball. At 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com, will join us and talk Sporting KC and their big 2-0 win. We'll also hear from some of the Chiefs players and coaches because we're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, so why not? Coming up next, though, after the break, Howard Richmond, editor of GCM Magazine, works for the Golf Course Superintendents Association, is going to join us and talk PGA Championship with Brooks Koepka in the lead, Tiger Woods just 4 shots back. And again, you can hear the PGA Championship live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock. I tuned in yesterday and it was good stuff. All right, a timeout here. Back with more. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Mountain St. Joe, Charlie Carlin is here. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. And we'll have more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Stop.
Into our Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Charlie Carlin is up here with me. Jed Marshall's back in the Rally House studios. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. Just a couple of updates from camp. The team is going through 11-on-11 right now, and they're doing 3rd and long. And Patrick Mahomes, the second, completed a couple of deep balls back-to-back. So that looks good, but the defense is getting after it. In fact, we had a little, what you want to call it here? You want a dust up? It wasn't really a brouhaha, but Eric Fisher and Breland Speaks were nose to nose and exchanging pleasantries. It's about that time in camp.
I believe the technical term is fisticuffs.
Well, it didn't come to fisticuffs.
Just short of that.
Just short of that. So there you go. I like this, though. You like to see guys getting after it. They're getting mad at each other. They've only played one game where they get to hit somebody else for once, but the defense has been kind of dominating this drill, this full 11-on-11, 3rd and long. Chad Henne just had a nice completion for about 10 to 12 yards. But the defense has been getting after it, and Bob Sutton's been getting after the defense, and I think the offense is getting a little, frankly, they're getting pissed off. Good for them. You got to get pissed off when you're at football camp. So that's the latest going on over here. Also, Charlie Carlin confirmed Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is in the trainer's tent right now. And we'll check to see if he gets back out. We'll watch the ones and see if we see a number 71 out there. Talk a little golf here now with our good friend Howard Richmond, the editor of GCM Magazine, works for the Golf Course Superintendents Association. He was out in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago scouting Bellerive ahead of the PGA Championship. Howard, how are you on this final day of the final major of the year?
Well, I'm doing good, Brad, but I told Jed a few seconds ago you fired me up again by the Waldo Pizza remark. I mean, you didn't take me there a few weeks ago. And
oh, man.
Let's talk about Boo for a second, St. Louis, since the PGA is there. Okay, White Castle started in 1921 in Kansas.
Right.
There's not a White Castle to be found in Kansas anymore, but there's lots of them in St. Louis.
That's a big thing. I have friends who grew up in St. Louis, and they're like, "Oh, you never had a White Castle?" I said, "There used to be one over in Northtown, but that's been closed for years. I don't know where White Castle is in Kansas City."
I told you there aren't anymore. I'm almost positive there are. I mean, you can buy them at the grocery stores. Yeah, and there used to be the one over at 90th and Metcalf. That's a Starbucks now. I'll tell you, after I used to cover the Kansas City Blades, I drive over there, coming home about 11:30 midnight. I get like 6 of them in the order of fries, and I'd eat them before I got home, which is a mile away.
Well, if I'm gonna If I'm going to have a good hamburger, I'm going to go to Westport Flea Market and see my good friend Joe over there who owns it. In fact, Howard, now I'm hungry. Dang it. I'm going to have to get back to St. Joe and go to Westport Flea Market or maybe stop by the Well or something like that. So
there you go.
I'm hungry. How about this PGA Championship? Before we get too far into the details, by the way, you can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Howard, I was watching some of the action yesterday after I was done here at Chiefs training camp. I don't know what it is about this group of young golfers right now, the Justin Thomases, Brooks Koepkas, all these guys. They were making ridiculous shots yesterday. I mean, from 230 yards out and plugging it right next to the pin. I was stunned. And I don't know if it was the course or these guys are just all hot at the right time, but I just couldn't believe the ridiculous shots that were being made yesterday.
The course was obviously it's receptive with the rain they had earlier in the week, and it's soft. And yeah, I mean, guys are throwing darts, and it's fun to watch. I loved it yesterday. I mean, watching golf from 7 a.m. till whenever it was. I mean, that's what you could do that for the British Open. It was fantastic.
Sure.
Grab my bowl of Fiber One. You guys will be eating that when you get to my age. And then watch golf for the rest of the day. It was fantastic. But, I mean, it's such high drama, Brad. I mean, this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, what a stacked top of the leaderboard. I mean, it's going to be a joy to watch this. I mean, anybody from, it's minus eight, closer, I think it's got a great chance today. And there's a lot of storylines there, aren't there?
Absolutely. And the biggest one that we're always going to talk about is Tiger Woods, because he didn't get off to the best start yesterday. And then you kind of got the, you get that creeping feeling, okay, is Tiger, he admitted last week he was tired at the end of his four rounds. And this week you're wondering yesterday, okay, maybe, is he tired again? Is he not feeling 100%? And then just smoke some shots to get himself four back at the leader going into the final day of a championship. And, we've been talking about it for 3 years. If he comes back, when he comes back, maybe he won't be good enough to win a major. Maybe he won't be good enough to win a tournament. But he's been in these majors this year, and he's there four shots again. And I can't imagine the crowd for the final round today over in St. Louis. It's going to be off the charts.
It's stacked, isn't it, watching him? It's, a lot of people following him. And the thing about his play is he's killing it on the front. And if he can just get the mojo on the back nine, and he almost did yesterday. I mean,
yeah,
had that eagle opportunity. How close was that? And if he plays well on the backside, if he plays like he's been playing on the front, I mean, he seems to be in that zone again. And it might have been the front nine yesterday. I was thinking to myself, there was a time I wasn't convinced he would ever win another major. But the way he's playing now, and if he stays healthy, sure he's going to. It doesn't matter if he's in his 40s. I mean, one of those records he'll probably break is most majors won in your 40s, and that won't take many to do that total-wise. But, he looks fantastic. I mean, everything's to be pretty much clicking right now for him.
We're speaking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, longtime golf writer and sports writer of the Kansas City Star as well. We're talking PGA Championship. So Tiger's in the hunt at 4-under. That's obviously going to get some eyeballs. But, watching yesterday, too, I don't feel bad when professional athletes fail. Everybody fails. But Gary Woodland, I root for, since he's a Topeka guy, went to KU. I didn't go to KU, but I root for guys like that. I think he's a super nice dude. But, went in with a big lead yesterday, or a two-shot, three-shot lead yesterday, and then just fell apart and then was able to collect himself at the end to get two back. But, man, watching some of those shots yesterday, I was like, Gary, what are you doing? You had this for 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of Gary, I'm one of the finest guys anywhere. There's no doubt about that. And he made a great comeback after, what was it, the triple yesterday. And to fight back to get to minus nine to get in there. I mean, watching him and Koepka, it's kind of, couple of bodybuilder golfers. I mean, these guys, they hit it. They just, they can bomb the ball. And, good for him to kind of recover and regroup and get it to where he's in striking distance again.
Yeah, you mentioned Brooks Koepka, and look, I know Brooks Koepka is not a household name unless you're into golf, but he's won back-to-back U.S. Opens. He's got a two-shot lead going into the final round and a chance to win two majors in the same season, which doesn't happen all that often. But he's bombing it. I don't know who designs his shirts, but they purposely tighten his sleeves so he just looks like the Incredible Hulk. And he doesn't have the biggest personality. I know he's in a beer commercial now, and he's trying to promote himself as being this fun-loving guy, but he's just kind of a quiet guy. But watching him just take over yesterday while Woodland was having his problems, it was a thing of beauty. And I'm just looking at this guy, I'm like, wow, you know, two U.S. Opens back-to-back, chance to win a PGA, and then people will start talking about him. You can't hide from somebody who's won three majors.
Yeah, did you see the legendary Dan Jenkins' quote on him yesterday, his tweet?
No, I didn't.
How does he find time for all these weightlifting competitions while he's playing golf, too?
I mean, that's a good one.
I mean, yeah, the guy, he's all business, it looks like. Yeah, he goes out there and does what he has to do, and he has a plan. And, yeah, I mean, think about it. If he wins today, that's, what, three majors over, you know, with the last six, seven majors total, something like that. I mean, pretty incredible. And it just doesn't seem like he had a couple hiccups on the back yesterday, which maybe he was due for that. But he came back from that, too, like Woodland did, and kind of got himself, you know, he righted the ship. And here he is at the top, and he kind of seems unflappable, doesn't he?
Absolutely he does. I never see any emotion from him. I never see anger, and I never see a celebration, which I guess is a pretty good place to be when you're a professional golfer. And I'm looking at the top of the leaderboard, and we're speaking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association about the PGA Championship. Final round today over at Bellerive in St. Louis, and you can hear it live at 1 o'clock, beginning at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm looking at the leaderboard, and you mentioned a stacked top of the leaderboard going into the final round. So Brooks Koepka, two-shot lead. He's won back-to-back U.S. Opens. Adam Scott's won a major. He's won a Masters. Gary Woodland's looking for one. Ricky Fowler's won a Players' Championship, which some people consider a fifth major, but he's looking for his first, and he's right there, just three shots back. John Rahm, one of the great young players in the world, the young Spaniards, three shots back. Schwartzel has been in major tournaments. Lowry's been a good player. Justin Thomas is a major winner. Jason Day is a major winner. Tiger Woods, Francisco Molinari. I mean, all these guys at the top are just, their resumes are unbelievable, and they're all in this on the final day.
Exactly. I mean, Adam Scott, of course, he's got the game to do it. There's no doubt about that. Ricky Fowler, everybody's waiting for that breakthrough. I know he's had some injuries and he's dealing with, but, you know, steady as it goes. Pretty unremarkable round yesterday, but he got through it. You know, he's right there. He's close. I mean, he's number one in greens and regulation, so he's doing something right. That's why he's there. You know, John Rahm, yeah, another guy who's young who, you know, I think they said he's bogey-free for his last 36 holes. I mean, talk about being steady. And the guy's got a great game. There's no doubt about that. And, I kind of wonder, too, you think about, for a while there was this kind of a little bit of a stigma about the PGA Championship guys that come out of nowhere. You think of Rich Beam in 2002 when he beat Tiger, and then Sean McKeel back a year later. So Shane Lowry.
John Daly many years ago.
Right, exactly. You know, Shane Lowry's got, he's got a lot going for him. I really like him. I mean, he could be that guy this year. You know, and what about Stuart Sink? You know, he's not even mentioning him. He's only four back. I mean, that guy's won a major. So he's got a lot of experience. Yeah, I mean, there's so many guys there, and Justin Thomas, I haven't even mentioned him. Charles Schwartzel, he knows how to win majors. I mean, it's just incredible. Any of them could come out of that pack if Koepka falls back a little. It's going to be getting off to a good start. Obviously, guys need to get off to a good start today, and there's been opportunities to do that at this golf course.
We're talking with Howard Richman about today's final round of the PGA Championship at Bellerive over in St. Louis. I'm trying to remember. Gosh, I'm going to be embarrassed to even ask this, Howard, but wasn't Stuart Sink the one who beat Tom Watson at the playoff at the Open Championship a few years ago?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was, boy. Yeah, it still brings a tear to all of our eyes, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I know Stuart, all the guys on tour say Stuart Sink is the nicest guy in the world, but because he beat Tom Watson in a playoff, I can't root for him. I'm not rooting against him, but I'm not rooting for him.
Yeah, I hear you. And you think about, you know, Tom Watson. I think about Kansas City and all the stuff that they've been talking about over the weekend about the great crowds and how St. Louis is a great sports town. And you know, what would it be if we ever had a major championship in Kansas City? I'm not sure we have the courses for it, but can you imagine what the crowd turnout would be like from our region if we had something like that here?
I would take it in a heartbeat. I know they tried to have a regular senior tour event for many years, but it didn't draw the people because the names were, you know, largely unfamiliar. You knew a couple of guys, but Yeah, I'd love to see a major. What course in Kansas City or in the metro area would even have the potential? You'd be talking with Lionsgate or I don't know. Holbrook,
you know,
Shadow
Glen comes to mind.
Shadow Glen, okay.
It's a great course. You know, Holbrook was back in the days when I was covering golf at the Star. I know that I wrote some stuff about the Women's U.S. Open was a possibility there, but it just didn't come together. This was mid-90s, late 90s, something like that. You know, Holbrook, Shadow Glen, you've got a few courses. Maybe the National, Tom Watson's original National up north. And you know what would be a really neat one is at Swope Park. I mean, it's one of our most famous courses. You could play golf there. Then you could go to Starlight or go to the zoo. I mean, you got all that stuff right there. So that probably would never happen at Swope, but it's a great course, just a great legendary course in Kansas. It would be cool, Brad. I mean, I know we've had the senior tour event. We've got web.com now, but to get something like that, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I mean, that would be one of the neatest things ever for this city.
I would take a regular PGA event any day just to, because I don't think if people realize it, you know, when the web.com guys come in, some people might think, oh, well, these are the minor leagues. Well, these guys are fighting for a job on the PGA Tour next year. And when you watch the web.com tour guys play and you think, these guys are this good and they can't be one of the 150 best players on the PGA Tour or whatever the number is, because it's the fraction between being on the PGA Tour and being one of the top 5 to 10 players on the web.com tour is minuscule.
It is, and those guys that play in that web.com event that were at Lionsgate last week, I mean, they can really hit the ball, and they're hungry. They're trying to become the next Ricky Fowlers and Gary Woodlands and Brooks Koepkas, and you know, it's fun to watch them. It's kind of neat to see that. And, you know, we had some really good turnouts. I volunteered a few days for that, and people came out. So I think people love golf in Kansas City. It would be great to see something like that come here someday. You never know. A PGA Tour event, it's possible down the road. Who knows?
Final question for you, Howard. Golf rarely has controversies unless somebody is accused of cheating, and we've seen those over the years. Tiger's been accused of it. As well as other players. We saw Keegan Bradley get into it a couple of years ago with, is it Angel Cabrera? They got Jimenez. They got into it over a rules question. So we don't see a lot, but yesterday Gary Woodland, our KU guy, hits it into a bunker and it gets stuck into somebody's footprint because it was not right. And so afterwards, the PGA professional who was in charge of that bunker said, look, I apologize. I didn't want to rake it because I thought somebody was going to take a shot, and I didn't want to be standing in the sand trap while someone was shooting or getting their line of sight. But that, you know, if you want to talk about controversy, not having the bunker raked, that might get you in trouble.
Yeah, well, for my game, it wouldn't matter. But, yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
kind of one of those crazy situations. You know, the weirdest thing yesterday, and yeah, maybe they should do a poll on this, talk about Matt Wallace, the guy that got the hole in one and and threw the ball into the stands. I mean, I don't get that. Wouldn't you want to keep that? I mean, in a major
I still have mine. Yeah, I made mine on a ridiculous little par 3 down at the course down at the heart of America, the rock course. I kept that ball. I got the ball. I got the tee. I got pictures. Got everything.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just couldn't. I was just beside myself yesterday. I mean, I wish I had the ball that my only home run in 3-2 Johnson County baseball, 1972. I hit one over the fence, and I wish I had that ball. But I just don't understand. You guys were talking about, I think, Baker Mayfield yesterday. Somebody threw back the ball from his game. Was that right yesterday or a couple of nights ago that happened? Or
yeah, Thursday night.
I mean, yeah, I don't get it. And that's the thing I don't understand about people throwing baseballs back after the visiting team hits a home run. As a kid, I would have loved to have kept that baseball. I just do not understand it anymore.
No. Well, just
whatever.
If you get a hole-in-one, keep it, Howard. So, hey, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I believe some of the players have teed off. The players at the bottom of the leaderboard are out at Belrive in St. Louis. And then we'll get the leaders coming out over the next few hours. And the PGA Championship, I think it comes down to the final hole, maybe – maybe a playoff. That would be a fantastic way to end the final major of the season. So enjoy the final round, Howard.
Thanks for having me, Brad. You guys have a good day.
All right, thank you, you too. That is Howard Richmond from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, editor of GCM Magazine, longtime golf writer and sports writer at the Kansas City Star, talking a little PGA Championship. And again, we'll have final round coverage today beginning at 1 p.m. on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I got a chance to listen to the golf on radio yesterday. I don't get to do that very often, but I was driving back home from St. Joe, turned on the golf on 810, and it's really good. I wasn't sure how descriptive you could be talking about golf on the radio, but it's really good. So on that note, we'll take a timeout. Still to come on the show, Eamon Brennan from The Athletic is going to join us at 10 to talk about the new college rules for basketball. And at 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com talking about Sporting KC's big 2-0 win at LAFC last night. We might ask him about the English Premier League, too, since it kicks off this weekend. So quick timeout here. Our Chiefs training camp coverage up here in St. Joe brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here. Jed Marshall back in the Rally House studios. Back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Fish for you, meaning the band, not the food. I always forget. I know this is from the album Hoist, but what is the title of this song, Jed?
This is Down with the Z's. If Charlie was there on my headset, he would have been so mad at you.
Oh, he just put the headsets on. He's already giving me a dirty look.
Yeah, that's for
What's up, Charlie? Got something to say?
Oh, I heard you say fish, so I had to immediately put my headphones on. So, you know. Good song.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff on a Sunday morning. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp up in St. Joe, campus of Missouri Western. We're watching the, I believe it's the fourth string offense versus defense. Well, no, it's fours against the number one defense. They're doing a 7-on-7 right now. And Chase Litton is the quarterback, and he's scanning around, and nobody's open. And he's scrambling, heaving to the end zone, and I believe that was a catch, right? Yeah, catch in the end zone by. I'm looking. Okay. That was caught by Alex Ellis, who's one of those guys fighting for a backup tight end spot.
Where was that the other night, man?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, Litton was going to be sacked on that play if this was 11-on-11, but he scrambled. He threw the ball. He put it right where he wanted to. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's got a little something, all right? He's got a little something. Not saying a lot. Now Patrick Mahomes is back in as the ones are going against the number ones. Number one defense, number one offense. Actually, it's number two defense, pardon me. Mahomes looking end zone and completes a touchdown pass to Demetrius Harris, who takes a jump shot over the goalpost. I like that. You got to have a little fun out here, you know?
Didn't he play basketball at Kent State?
I heard that somewhere. I heard that. I heard Brock Osweiler say that once. I'm not sure.
And he had a scholarship offer to play basketball at Gonzaga. I'm not sure if you knew that, Brad.
I did. I think that rumor's gone around before. We do have some the bad news. We have some injuries piling up today here at Chiefs training camp. We mentioned in the last segment that Laurent Dernier-Tardif had gone to the trainer's tent. Speculation by Adam Teicher from ESPN.com as he was being looked at for a possible concussion. Xavier Williams, the young man from Grandview High School, is trying to make this squad as well after playing 3 years in Arizona. He went to the tent, and both LDT and Xavier Williams rode the cart back to the facility for further examination. So two injuries there already, and telling you what, if you're fighting for a spot, staying healthy is the big thing. So Xavier Williams and LDT have left the practice field, and they're heading up to the facility for further evaluation. Those are the injuries that have happened so far today in camp. So, man alive, I hope Xavier Williams is nothing serious. He's a good kid. I did a story on his team at Grandview when he was in high school for the old Metro Sports TV station, and I really want him on this team. I think he makes the team anyway. I mean, they gave him a contract. He's a 3-year vet. It's not like he was coming in here to try out. But want to see him stay healthy. Want to see him succeed in a Chiefs uniform. Got 1 minute left, Jed. You want to put a little lunch wager down on the PGA Championship?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, who you got? I'll let you have first pick.
I'll take Gary Woodland.
You'll take Gary Woodland.
Okay, and if I win, we're bringing Howard Richmond.
We're bringing Howard Richmond to Waldo Pizza. Okay, I will be. I'm gonna have to look at the list again. I was gonna go Brooks Koepka, but that's, you can't pick a guy who's at the top. That's the obvious choice, right? You gotta pick somebody. You gotta pick somebody else. So I'll look at the list and I'll pick one in the next hour.
Oh, you get the benefit of a break? That's hogwash.
Yeah. Well, you can change yours. We haven't set.
I'm riding with Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
All right. Well, coming up on the timeout here, Eamon Brennan is coming up next. Talk college basketball. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.